right along now to item number 21, public comment. Do you have your hand up first?
I do.
Come on up.
My name is Donna Fong, and I'm a resident of the Highlands. What I'd like to speak to you about tonight, for the last 4 years that I've lived in the Highlands, I've become involved in my community, working with the animals in the community, the wildlife, and it's become very apparent to me that Story County is growing to the point where I believe it's time we have animal services of some kind. It's very hard for those of us who are trying to help the wildlife. Abandoned cats and dogs are constantly being abandoned up in the Highlands. Myself and many of my fellow neighbors have been able to place these animals, reunite them with their owners, but it's been very hard. There are neglected animals up there who are not being cared for properly, starving horses, and out of my own pocket I have paid for hay to help these animals. And I would think at this point it's time we have some kind of animal services available.
And one of the items with the horses, I believe that there's stuff in the works right now.
For the wild horses?
Together. The sheriff is involved with it. And that's
are you speaking of the wild horses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about animals that are owned by people who either cannot or will not take care of them. I have approached some of these people on my own in the kindest way that I can and have offered my services, have brought veterinarians up, been able to find vets who are willing to come up at no charge to these people. But it's just becoming very apparent to me it's getting harder and harder to do this in our little grassroots group. And so I would put before you that perhaps it's time that we look into this as Story County is growing. There's a lot of homes being built in the Highlands now, and it's getting harder and harder to find help to do this work. So I respectfully submit to you maybe it's time we look at this.
Are you thinking primarily about the cat and dog population, or are there other animals?
Well, it's been my experience in the past with injured wildlife and to horses, it's very hard to find anybody to come and look at them. When someone does come up, it's usually from the sheriff's office. They are killed. And unfortunately, I don't believe, no dishonor to our deputies, because I think they're all great, they are not trained in animal welfare or how to care for animals. So I think it's time, with our community growing the way it is, that we approach this subject. I've tried to get help from Reno. That doesn't work because it's out of the county. I've gone to Carson City, out of the county. There is nowhere for us to turn to get this help. And that's why I've come to you tonight.
Have you tried the Humane Society?
Yes. As soon as they found out it was Story County, they said they're Washoe County and they could not help. Same thing with Carson. We've had abandoned cats and dogs in through the sheriff's office, making a report, holding the animal, hoping that the owner calls the sheriff's department. We have been able to reunite some of them. Others I've been able to place in adoptive homes, but it's getting, you know, to be a little bit too much for the average citizen there to handle. So I'm putting it before you to see if there's anything you can do. Do you have any questions for me?
If I can address it, I've worked with Donna often, and I appreciate your
and I behaved myself today.
Your passion and your compassion. I would suggest, unless the commission disagrees, I certainly don't disagree with you. I think we need time to come up with an ideal solution. I know Carson City just did what I would typify it by saying externalized their animal control services. There are so many agencies out there. I apologize. I don't know if it was Nevada Humane or, you know, or a regional, but I want to see how I would propose that we could see how that is working. Oftentimes, you know, we're just not quite big enough. I certainly would agree and would want to check with Sheriff Antonaro and Sergeant Quirk. I'd ask if you'd take that back to him, you know, because we don't want to tread on his territory. But having been in his shoes for 6 years, I expect he would gladly welcome and embrace a more trained, better trained unit and allow, no offense again, Kim, the cops to do what the cops do. So I will, I'll be reaching out to both Sherry Nevin, our community services officer, as well as Sheriff Antonaro or his designee, which could very well be Sergeant Clerk, and begin the process to see what we can do. It's it would have been great if we would have done this 2 years ago going into this next budget, but I certainly agree with everything you've said, and we'll see what we can do, and I would ask that you be my constant reminder. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Donna. Okay. Nicole, come on up.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I have a couple of things. One is, in the current budget that we're in, through Bill Chauvangan's recommendation, the commission approved county grants of $10,000 for each of the communities. And it's in the budget. Where is that money now? If we in the Highlands wanted to take that money and let it, you know, add up to, if we get another $10,000 in this next budget, that would be $20,000. That may be one of the things that we could help fund. But so where are we with those grants? And is a separate fund established where you deposit those funds for each of the four communities where we can see it as it accumulates?
Relative to the funds being in a separate fund, no, they are a component of the general fund. They're line items in the general fund. I believe, as I recall, I think $40,000, Bill, $10,000 per area. And I think we covered that as one line item, I believe, in Sharon Evans Community Services budget, as I recall. The status of it is this is a piece of unfinished business from our former district attorney, Bill Maddox. And God love Bill, he has pledged to come back and finish this one and others. But structuring the program, both from a legal standpoint and a quality consistency standpoint, has proved problematic for Bill over the time. So I honestly can't look you in the eye and say we're going to have any dispersals this year. I would tell you I would advocate to have those amounts funded again next year under the same way. But the status is we're still waiting for...
Okay, that's fair. Okay. But if, when Bill gets it taken care of, may we accrue those funds year after year? Meaning, is it a spend it or lose it, or is it can be accrued over time?
It's a budget philosophy. I wish Mr. Gallagher was here to answer. We typically don't operate under the spend it or lose it. You heard him earlier, I think, talk about that's one of the reasons why our any fund balances are large. Could there be a request to roll those monies? Absolutely.
Okay.
How would it be received? That's up to these three gentlemen.
So do you have an approximate date when Bill Maddox will be able to do this? So we can't access those funds if we
need
them?
That's correct. We don't have a mechanism to access it.
Okay.
I would tell you that given Bill's retirement and a fairly small list of items he's committed to work for us gratis, I'm encouraged because he had such a heavy workload even with his other counsels that are still here. I think he'll have a little more time on his hands, hopefully, to be able to address these loose.
Okay. Second question is, what is the status of the rail monies that are owed to the county? The last update was not so much an update as it was a statement from former Commissioner Chauvangan that was being worked, a meeting was going to be held, that you were leaving it to Pringle to figure out what that amount was, a new potential interlocal agreement was being written. Where are we with that?
That is pending the changeover from former Commissioner Chauvangan to Commissioner McGuffey. Hugh Gallagher is our active person on that. There were meetings held with the Rail Commission. We have not reached total agreement, but there certainly are concepts out there where we could at least receive some level of funding and not cripple or mortally wound the entire rail project by monies that truly are due us, no question in my mind. And in the meantime, to the best of my knowledge, at my direction, probably 90 days or so ago while we were working this, we have not made any remittances to the Rail Commission. The money actually comes from state taxation to us and then through enabling legislation that I'm 90% sure we're violating, but I don't care at this stage. We're supposed to pass it through to the Rail Commission, and until these matters are resolved, we're not doing it.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. Are we still contributing to them? So that answer is
we're holding those monies.
Wasn't their audit still extended? I don't think we have last year's audit from them yet.
I believe that's correct.
So
I have last year's audit.
Do you?
The 14?
The 2014 Rail Commission audit?
I received it a year ago, so no.
That would have been 13.
Okay, that would have been 13. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have their audit yet.
I believe you're right.
Okay, all right. Fine. And then lastly, I was at the last meeting, but my brain is fuzzy. The resolution to create the tax-free district passed, and the only reason this has now come to the forefront is because I read it in the Chronicle that had Commissioner Gilman voting on that resolution. Shouldn't he have recused himself from that because there was TRI land in it and the wind farm in it, which I believe is owned by TRI? How could that have, again, I was here, just didn't occur to me. How could that have been voted on by Commissioner Gilman when he had a pecuniary interest in having that passed?
I'll answer as a layman. And again, I'll look to hopefully Council Morris on this as well. The first off, as has been reported in the paper, there was a mix-up of some of those properties. There was a different legal description provided at different times, okay, specifically the wind farm area. That's why my confusion was evident at the last meeting. The key for this, and the reason why I would argue as a layman that Commissioner Gilman was not in conflict, is it is only Tesla as a lead participant that can benefit from the Economic Diversification District.
Then why attach all those other properties in the ordinance?
We did it at their request, quite frankly.
They wanted
again,
the wind farm in there?
School. I believe they fully intend to make purchases of those properties from Commissioner Gilman. But, again, only Tesla can take advantage of that Economic Diversification District. Commissioner Gilman cannot, nor can any other purchaser other than Tesla.
But this just doesn't feel right. When Austin came up, and Kay was the one that brought it up originally, it seemed to me that what Austin was looking at, in addition to the Tesla-specific APN and parcel numbers, he didn't submit those. So how did...
Neither of us knew. That was a change from Tesla's attorneys. They expanded the geographic boundaries in anticipation of acquisition of the properties that you're referencing.
No, I think also at the last meeting we got legal counsel's opinion from Maddox, because we're simply following the drill of SB 1. You know, we had to do this. We had to do it because it was legislation. So I believe it was at the direction of the district attorney at the time that all was well. There was no conflict.
Okay, so Tesla requested that the additional TRI property and the wind farm be included in the ordinance.
That is correct, through their counsel.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, meeting is adjourned.